Thank you for tuning in to the Essential Church Podcast, a church where we focus on restoration over denomination. If you're in the Virginia Beach area and would like to find out more about Essential Church, visit our webpage at essentialchurch.com.
So, first of all, good morning. We've been in a series on This Is Love, and just talking about the sacrificial, amazing love of God, and what does love look like, and how do we show love? And so, in keeping with that, when you move through the scriptures, it's always talking about how what love really is to give of others sacrificially. And so, we've been talking about how we love our enemies. We also, in the midst of that, we love the least of these. And so, this morning, I want to focus in on what it means to love those that you may never meet, you may never know, you may never get to know. And of course, a lot of churches we just talk about this as missions. And what's funny is I get questions every once in a while in a very odd way. Like, there's these things called comment cards that are at the bottom of the bulletin. And on the back, people will often write questions. However, 90% of the time, 9 out of 10 times I get a question, there is no contact information on it. And I'm like, how am I going to answer this? How am I going to explain? I mean, and they're usually very specific questions. Like, I think this person really needs to know, but I have no idea who this person is. Like, what do they think I'm going to do? Get up on stage and... Somebody was asking, is there another bathroom besides the one at the end of the hall? I mean, am I really going to answer that question publicly? No. So recently, one of the questions that was asked was, are there any mission trips that we can go on? And that's actually one that I can answer right now. And my simple answer would be, yes, there's lots of mission trips you can go on. One of them would be over to the ocean front on either Thursday nights or Saturday mornings to feed the homeless. That's a mission trip we take almost, I think, at least 2-3 times a month over there. We also take mission trips out to the grocery store quite often to pick up food for the food pantry here in town. And people are like, oh, no, I was talking like going on a mission trip like overseas somewhere. Like, oh, you want to go overseas? Well, you could take a mission trip here on a Friday night when we purchase 20,000 meals and package them up for Stop Hunger Now, because those will go all over the world. Or right now, there's actually a mission trip going on right now. You go down to Walmart. And I always love to pause at that moment because some people think that Walmart is the mission trip. But if you go down to Walmart right now and you pick up some toiletries, you can bring them here between now and Mother's Day. And we've partnered with Samaritan House. Now, Samaritan House is an amazing ministry here in town that reaches out and cares for. They're a first line of care for women who've been rescued out of sex trafficking, which, yes, believe it or not, that happens right here in Virginia Beach. This is, since it's a resort town, this is a major destination right up along the East Coast for sex trafficking. And so women who get rescued out of that, the police and other workers take them to Samaritan House. Also, for women who are in abusive situations and have nowhere to go, that's where they end up. And when they get there, they have nothing. Probably the closest thing I have to compare it to, and this is first world problem issue. You ever been on an airplane and they lose your luggage? And they say, sorry, it's going to take us a few days to figure out where we sent your luggage. And so what do? They, at least back in the day, they used to hand you this little like baggie, and it had in it like a toothbrush, some toothpaste, a hairbrush, things like that. So this is just kind of get you through until we can find your luggage. And really, that's when we went and said, what could we do for these women? What's the first thing we could offer them? He says, well, if you could provide them with that kind of a care package, just so they can sort of get through the first night as a foreshadowing, a foretaste, to know that their needs will be cared for, that they are loved. And so we said, sure, we'll jump on that. And so we're going to be doing that between now and Mother's Day. You can go down. I think there's a list of stuff you can get. Toothpaste, toothbrush, hairbrushes, deodorant, hand cream, washcloths, umbrella. Whatever you would need if you were stranded somewhere for a couple of days until you could sort of rebuild things. And that's really what we're offering to do. So if you want to bring that stuff in, you can bring it at the food pantry place. And that is a great mission trip to go on. And some of you are thinking, no, I want to go overseas. And here's why we don't do a lot of overseas mission trips. Because to go overseas, you'll end up spending $1,500 to $2,000 on your airfare, your lodging, and your accommodations. Then you'll probably pick up some souvenirs. Also, you can do about $50 worth of work and get a great selfie for Facebook, right? I mean, that's really what we're after at the end of the day, right? And on the way back, you'll fly home and you'll say this: did I really have to fly all the way down to Nicaragua just to help somebody? You know, I think there might be needs in my own backyard. And so we've done that as a church, and that's really our missional philosophy. And so what we do is we stand up here at the end of every service, and we say that God wants you to give back a portion of what he's blessed you with. Put that in the black boxes as you leave out the doors, and that will go to meet the needs of Virginia Beach and where else do we say? around the world. And one of those places in particular is in Nicaragua, which is the second most impoverished country in this hemisphere. And there's women and children down there who don't have the ability to provide for their family. And so, women and children. There are husbands and wives who can't provide for their children. There are marriages that split up, and there's women who then can't provide for their children. And so what we've been able to do is partner together with a church in Jinotepe, Nicaragua, with some people you'll never meet in this lifetime, I'm sure. But one day, you will. And you have the opportunity to care for them, not only from the time they are born, but throughout. This is a long-term commitment that we've made. And so every year, we give Pastor Eddie, you'll meet Pastor Eddie in just a minute, a check for $20,000 and say, this is yours. Take it. If any bank will cash it, it's all yours. But actually, that's what we do. And that's where a part of what you give every single week goes to, is to organizations and opportunities just like this. And so for just a minute, I want you to watch a little summary video of everything you've done over this past year to invest inside these kids.
Good morning. I am Eddie Morales. So good to be here with you this morning. I'm so blessed. And I think I am part of Essential Church already, so Pastor left and oh, he's there. Yeah. But thank you so much for helping us to change life in Nicaragua. $20,000, a lot of money you're sending to the kids, and we are changing the life of more than 250 children for a year. Can you imagine? No, providing meals, health care, dental care, after school program, club pregnant, bringing hope to the life of these children. We usually say changing their life on earth and for eternity with Jesus. So as Pastor said, you may not meet those kids. You will see them in heaven. And it's going to be awesome in heaven. It's going to be great. It's going to be wonderful when they can run up to you and say, man, I had a great life on earth, you know, in Via Rotaria community because of you. And now it's going to be even greater because now we're in heaven forever and ever. That's what they will say to you, I'm sure. So thank you so much. And the last image that you saw, Arely, who is the pastor, the director for all the program, the lady with the baby, that lady is Carla. And she has two girls, Scarlett, who is 7, and Angelica, who is 3 now. When they came to the feeding program 3 years ago, Angelica was 8 months old, that little baby. She was 8 months old. And she had some serious issues with her bones because of lack of calcium. And Carla didn't even know what to do, where to go. And the first thing she said, I will run to my local church initiatives, which is the building you saw at the very beginning that you built for them. And she went there and she talked to Pastor Arelis. And Pastor Arelis said, yes, we're going to help you. And today she is 3 years old. She has no issues with her bone. No, she's growing. Her sister, Scarlett, is 7 years old, as I said. She is part of the after-school program. And pretty soon, Angelica will be going to school. I don't know what would have happened if you didn't step up to help Angelica, Carla, and Scarlett. I don't know where Angelica would be today. I have no idea. But I know where she is today, and I know where she is going. I know the pathway that she is taking because of you. So thank you so much. Thanks for helping us change life and earth in Via Rotaria, but overall for eternity with Jesus. That's what you're doing. Thank you so much. Now, I know you have been in the series of love, true love, agape, love. And as I was preparing for this Sunday, I have the honor and the privilege to be here with you. So I was preparing for it, and I said, Lord, what? And I remember what God has been teaching me personally over these, since February, I would say, February through April, and I've been working on this. And it's the book of Nehemiah. Now, I'm going to go really fast, so I will just ask you to don't look for it. And don't look for it because I want you to read it. So when you get home today, read the book of Nehemiah. It's just before the book of Psalms, which is very well known. Otherwise, you will be, where is Nehemiah? Oh, yeah, it's not here. Where is Nehemiah? I guess Eddie in Venno. It happens to me many times. So that's why I'm saying this. But the book of Nehemiah talks about the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem. Now, why is it this so important? Because at that time, as you know, they had so many enemies around, the wall would provide protection, security, safety, well-being. They would feel really, really good. They would be safe within their walls. And that's exactly what was destroyed. No, that's exactly what their enemies destroyed, the wall, the gates, everything was destroyed. And as that was happening, Nehemiah book says, it was the month of Kislev in the 20th year. At the time, I was in the palace complex at Susa. This is Nehemiah. Hanani, one of my brother, had just arrived from Judah with some fellow Jews. I asked them about the conditions among the Jews there who had survived the exile and about Jerusalem. They told me the exile survivors who are left there in the province are in bad shape. Conditions are appalling. The wall of Jerusalem is still rubble. The city gates are still cinders. One thing I want you to feel, and my subject today is true love, agape love. And the one thing God has been showing me through this is when you go to the book of John, the Gospel of John, John 3:16 says, you know it. Now, John 3:16 says two things mainly. And those are the two things that God has been showing me. And actually, those are the two things you have been doing, and I want to encourage you to work on. And it says, God loved. Now, love has to do with the heart. You know that. You know, love has to do with the heart. But it says, he loved to the point that he moved it up from his heart to his head. It says, he loved that he gave. He feel, but he did something. And that something was tough for Jesus. So true love was feeling, yes, passion, yes, but also doing. And it says Jesus did it. It was tough. None of us here today have gotten to the point where Jesus got laid. He laid his life on the cross. And you know everything that happened. But it's love and work, passion and doing. And that's the combination, that's the balance that I want to talk about in a few minutes, actually in 12 minutes. So let's get to work. When I read this verse, I can feel it, and I want you to feel it. Remember this guy is saying, oh, okay, Hanani came, and I'm asking about my fellows, my brothers, my friends, my families. And the report that I'm receiving is really bad. And it says, when I heard this, I sat down and wept. I mourned for days, fasting and praying before the God of heaven. Can you feel it? What he's feeling? I said, God, God of heaven, the great and awesome God, loyal to his covenant and faithful to those who love him and obey his command. Look at me. Listen to me. Pay attention to this prayer of your servant that I am praying day and night in intercession for your servants, the people of Israel. I'm wondering if you have experienced something like you're talking, hey, guys, look at me. Pay attention. I'm talking to you. Listen to me. Can you feel the passion, the love that is coming from the heart of Nehemiah to the point that he's going to God? I mean, usually we go to God and Lord, you know. But this guy is coming and Lord, listen to me, please. Pay attention as I'm talking to you with all the love. And why was he doing this? Because he really needed Jesus. He really needed the Lord to rebuild. the walls of Jerusalem for his fellows, for his friends, for his families. Confessing the sins of the people of Israel, and I am included myself, I and my ancestors among those who have sinned against you, and confessing his sin. All, when you read the book of Nehemiah, I'm sure you're going to do this. Chapter 1, verse 1 through chapter 4, verse 14, you will learn that everything has to do with love and with heart and with passion. Read it. Read it. It went through. And here is Nehemiah. And twice he said, "Oh, master, listen to me. Listen to your servant's prayer." And then in chapter 2, now he's with the Lord. In chapter 2, this morning he went before the king and he is serving the wine. And the king is looking at him and saying, "Something is wrong with you. You know, I know that face, that long face," it says. "No, that's not your face. What is happening?" And he said, "My brothers are in really bad situation. And I need to go back and I need to work to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem." And you will see that in chapter 2, the king is giving all of his support. In chapter 3, when you go through chapter 3, you will find that he is now working to rebuild. And you find some names that I cannot even read. But in chapter 3 says, the sheep gate, that one I can, the sheep gate, they repaired it and hung its doors. And then it says, the fish gate was built. The Jeshana gate was rebuilt. The next section was worked on by the family of Rephaiahs, Malchijas, and all the names, again, really, I cannot read. All those people, he said, they're working and they're rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. And then you get to chapter 4. You will get to chapter 4. And it says, when Sambalat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he exploded in anger. The other verses say, when Sambalat, and you will find when Sambalat. Now, when you're working really hard on your marriage, in your Christian life, when you're working in your companies and you want to be successful, you're giving your best, there will be a lot of Sambalat. When you're making your decision, okay, I need to pray more, I need to read the Bible more, I need to be a better husband, I need to be a better son, I need to better be a better wife, I need to serve the poor people, I need to, there will be a lot of Sambalat. You know, when Sambalat heard, it said he got angered. So anger. That happens. But let's continue. Chapter 4. So again, when you get through there, you will see. We kept at it, repairing and rebuilding the wall. The whole wall was soon joined together and halfway to its intended height, because the people had a heart for the work. When Sambalat, you will see Sambalat. You may find Sambalat many times. When Sambalat, Tobias, and the Arabs, the Ammonites, and the Ashdodites heard that the repairs of the walls of Jerusalem was going so well, that the bricks in the wall were being fixed, they were absolutely furious. They put their hands together and decided to fight against Jerusalem and create as much trouble as they could. You will find a lot of that when you're working for the balance of heart and mind. No, and it says, we countered with prayer to our God and set a round the clock guard against them. But soon, word was going around in Judah, the builders are pooped, the rubbish piles up, we are in over our heads, we cannot build this wall. And they stop building the wall. Remember, they got to work. But it says the people had a heart for the work. You may have the heart This is what the Lord is showing me. Eddie, you may have the heart, and you may have the love, and you may have the passion to take these 250 children in Via Rotaria and La Competencia out of poverty with your friends and brothers from Essential Church. You may have the heart, but the heart is not enough. It says they went, it says the whole wall was soon joined together. Remember these funny names again, weird names. Names were building parts by parts. No, their parts, their portion. And it says when the whole wall was joined together and they got halfway to its intended height because the people had a heart, but they stopped. Now they got halfway. And that's the word. That's one of the words that the Lord is using to talk to me. Halfway. And the Lord is challenging me and saying, Eddie, are you want to be a halfway husband? Now, do you want to be a halfway son? Do you want to be a halfway daughter? Do you want to be a halfway wife? Do you want to be a halfway Marine? Do you want to be a halfway police, a halfway Christian? Do you want, when you pass away, there is a big label saying, here is John, the halfway guy. He was a halfway husband, halfway. He never finished anything. That's what happened when they worked with their heart. Actually, when they led with their heart. And you can see that. Again, I'm challenging you. Read the book of Nehemiah. You will learn a lot. I have been learning. Chapter 1, verse 1 through chapter 4, verse 14 says they work with their heart. They had a big heart. They had the passion. They really wanted to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. It meant a lot to them, but they got halfway. When you get to verse 15, it says, our enemies learned that we knew all about their plan and that God had frustrated it. And we went back to the wall and went to work and got it done. When our enemies learned that we knew, when our enemy learned that it went from our heart to our head, it's when the work got done. So the Lord is saying, Eddie, you may get as far as halfway with love if you're not at work. You may be a halfway father if you're not doing your part. Now, I don't know about you. I don't want to be a halfway guy. I don't want my son to look at me one day and say, oh, yeah, my father, he was a halfway guy. You know, he started this, he never ended it. He started this other, he was a great dad, but he was a halfway dad. You know, halfway school, halfway marriage, halfway serving, halfway, and halfway anything. I don't want to be that halfway guy. And the Lord is saying to you and to me today, you don't need to be to that halfway guy. So what do you need to do? Get back to work. And we went back to work to rebuild. I need to go back to work on my marriage. I need to go back to work with my son. I need to go back to review and say how I am doing with Orphan Network and all that we're doing. We're serving 22,000 children with lunch, with meals, with dental care, with health care, with education, with Club Pregnant, training, leadership, job training, and all that we're doing. But I want to make sure that I am not a halfway guy. I want to be a full guy, fulfill whatever. And what it says, halfway to its intended height. And the intention comes from what God planned for us. For example, God planned that I will marry my wife, who I love so much, and that I will be with her until she passes away, or I pass away, or we pass away both. Now, is it easy? No, it's not easy. But that's the intended height God has for my marriage. Now, what do I need to do? Get back to work. My son, my ministry, my spiritual life. What's the height? Jesus Christ. That's what Philippians says. You know, to the height of the image of Jesus Christ. That's the calling. Am I at that level? No way. I'm far away. I don't know about you, but I'm far away. What's the solution? Get back to work. It's love and work. It's passion. It's heart. And it is mind. So this morning I want to challenge you, as I'm challenging myself. We need to get back to work. Because you nor me, we don't want to be halfway guys, halfway people, halfway accomplishing things halfway. We want to make sure that we're finishing whatever we're starting. We want to know that we are accomplishing God's calling to our life wherever we are, in the army, in marriage, in school, in a company, with my company, ministry, and all that you're doing. You want to fulfill. You want to get back to work. When our enemies learn that, they will know that God, it says, all about their plan and that God had frustrated it. God will frustrate the enemy's plans against you and your family and all that you're doing when you get back to work with love and passion, but also with plans, with strategies, with giving time. No, you can't say, oh, yeah, I love my wife, but I mean, I'm not giving time to her. Or I love my husband, but I'm not passing much time, spending much time with her, with him. Or, oh, yeah, I love my kids, you know, and for he is not to be bothering me, I give him an iPad and, you know, give and give things and think that's love. No. You may be ending up by being halfway people, father, husband, professional, son, daughter, Christian. And you don't want to be that one. I don't want to be that one. So I'm encouraging you today. Get back to work. Now for you, what does that mean? I don't know. It's God and you. But get back to work. And do it with love. And do it with deeds, with action. And the label will be different when you pass away. And your son and everyone will remember you and say, man, he is my champion. She is my champion. And as I said, it's going to be awesome on earth that way. And it's going to be even better in heaven with Jesus. Lord, we thank you so much for your love. Thanks because you showed your love to each one of us by giving your son on the cross to save us, to make us a better person, to save us from hell. Help us to make the balance in our life, heart and mind, heart and head, passion and head, and get back to work and get the work done for your glory. Thank you so much. And just, Holy Spirit, keep ministering each one of us and talking to our heart in the name of Jesus. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Essential Church Podcast. Let me encourage you to pause for a moment and reflect on what you've heard. It's not the hearing of the word, but the application that makes all the difference.